little Donald is humming and trying to enjoy it. All the other children are singing loudly. 35 years later, at his wife's 40th birthday party, Donald is still humming. He wants to sing, but he isn't singing. Susie, alone in her living room, is weeping at the piano. Her tears splash the white keys. She is 28, healthy and bright. "I'll be dead before I learn this piece," she says to no one. Jim is supposed to be loving the symphony concert, but he is rigid in his seat. He feels like a dope. He doesn't know what to listen for. There is a veil in front of the music. Of course, he would never walk out, or worse, be discovered asleep by the symphony police. When we are first learning to listen, the bad comes in with the good. Donald was having a great time when his kindergarten teacher told him he couldn't sing a melody. He believed her. The moment Susie realized that she could never live up to her father's expectations of her, her ears, born to cradle Schumann and Debussy, became paralyzed. Jim was taught early on that music is about something outside of itself. Now he gets tangled up in what he thinks music is supposed to be, and there's no room for listening. There is a problem around our ears, around listening, around music. Listening is receptive. You allow something outside your body to come inside, into your deep brain, into your private of privates. To listen is to be vulnerable. To be open and impressionable, to hear everything, is dangerous. You can be damaged all too easily. But if you're shut tight against the world, you cannot receive nourishment. The problem is how to be open enough and safe enough at the same time. The resolution is a matter of balance, of discriminating between receptivity and self-defense. This tape will teach you how to listen safely and openly to the world around you. It will show you how listening can be a way of life and how life can become musical to the awakened ear. If you want it to, this tape will guide you to your own music.